something, telling them to expect hospitality. He tells them to go out to the lost sheep and to proclaim the good news of the coming of the kingdom of God. He tells them to cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. He ends his sending with words of assurance. The NRSV text is printed in your bulletin, but I'm reading from a new translation called The Voice. Listen for these words of Jesus in our own times. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Anyone who welcomes a prophet and surrenders to his prophecy will receive the prophet's reward. And anyone who welcomes a righteous person and conforms to the righteousness that surrounds him and proceeds from him will receive a righteous man's reward. And anyone who has given so much as a cup of cold water to one of the little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you, that person will be well rewarded. This is the good news for today. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Friends, will you pray with me? Lord of light and life, God of all we are and all we might yet be, oil the hinges of our hearts' doors that they might glide open gently and easily to welcome your coming. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In just a few short sentences, Jesus powerfully and compassionately calls us to think more deeply about what is meant by welcoming one another. In just these two verses, Jesus sets before his disciples, that is, anyone who will follow him in any time and in any place, instructions for how it is that we are to engage in this life of welcoming. Here at this church, I think in some ways, welcome is our mantra. It is our theme. It is the way in which we approach life, both here in worship, there in coffee hour, and hopefully out there beyond these doors. But whatever else we think about what this notion of welcome is and why we do it, here in Matthew, first and foremost, we are reminded that every time we welcome someone, it is a service not just to that person. It is a blessing not just to ourselves. But every time we welcome someone, it is a service to Christ himself. Whoever welcomes another welcomes me, Jesus says. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. As long as you and I have shared our common journey together, worship, this time set aside and set apart, has been at the center of our lives together. Here we come to meet the transforming power of God's love. Here we come to be shaped and formed. Here we come to become one body. That all we say and all we do and who we are in the days between Sundays, reflect God's calling on our lives. We come in here not to get away from anything, but rather to prepare and fortify ourselves to do the worship of God beyond these walls in the myriad of decisions that we make each and every day. Here in this passage, Matthew reminds us that welcome isn't something that just happens in a great and glorious and old and historic room. But rather, welcome needs to be part of the way we live our lives, wherever we are. Since you and I have started journeying together at the beginning of worship each week, whether on Sunday mornings, whether at weddings or funerals, whether in times of great joy or great grief, we start our worship in a similar way. First lifting our voices to the praise of God, and then issuing what we call an extravagant welcome. We do so to make sure people can be fully who they are. We do so to make sure that people who may have been terrified to walk through those doors feel safe enough to bear the fullness of their lives before the fullness of God's love. Each and every week, I try to come up with a different way of saying basically this: whoever you are and wherever you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And I think that we have tried to live out that welcome in many ways, although we have not always gotten it right. In new member classes, every time we ask the question of why is it that people chose to join in covenant with this congregation, invariably the kind of welcome they got ranks high on the list. In our visioning sessions, when we ask this church to reflect and think about the ways that our missions and ministries are soaring right now, the way we welcome people, not just into worship, but into our shared lives together, came up time and time again. It's a welcome that transcends just worship and just words, but truth be told, we don't always get it right. You may not know this, but there are people who have left this congregation because they have not felt fully welcome to be who they are. There are people who have come through those doors and heard those words and imagined hope beyond hope, that this was a place they could fit in, only to find that somehow and for some reason, it didn't quite work out. Barbara Brown Taylor describes sometimes that our Christian church can be like a solar church, either all the way on and full of bright life and light, or all the way off. And then unfortunately, sometimes when we share our lives with one another and someone shares a deep and abiding pain, we are good with it for a couple of weeks. And then after a while, it becomes easy or commonplace to say, wait a minute, haven't we loved you enough? We don't say that with our words, but we say it with our facial expressions. We say it with our body language. So sometimes the welcome that got someone to come can't be sustained. There have been noble and honest attempts to welcome in the broken and the breaking that have resulted in great pain, both for members here and for those who have given church a chance. There have been people who have come for many months before people said hello to them. Sometimes in our new member classes, rather than talking about how great our welcome is, some people have said they had to fight through it because they saw so many other good things going on. And then there are some people who came and felt so enlivened by the initial welcome, but over time it faded for them, and so did they until they were gone, and did we even notice? The truth is, we are human beings. We are works in progress. We are doing the best we can. But sometimes our welcome, our human welcome, isn't enough. And that's where Emily Towns, Dean of the Vanderbilt School of Theology, comes in. She says to us that one of the greatest risks that we face as a congregation is that we make the welcome about us and about our own gifts and about our own skills. Do I speak poetically enough? Do you smile widely enough? Is your handshake firm enough? Do you hug or not hug? Instead, she says that we need to make the welcome rooted not in our own efforts, but rather rooted firmly and totally in God. That as human beings with all of our limitations, before we can actually welcome someone into the shared life here, we first need to welcome God into our own lives and realize that we are doing nothing more than reflecting God's love for us. Henry Nouwen, one of my touchstones, takes it a step further. He says that until we accept that we are God's beloved, not for anything that we have done or will ever do, until we accept that fact to the depths of our hearts, it is hard to accept or welcome or love anyone else. There are two things about this passage I want us to think about today. The first is this: that sometimes a welcome is extended to say, you are welcome to come here as long as you fit in. As long as you work within our scheme, as long as you love our theology, as long as you appreciate classical music, as long as you love this simple, plain sanctuary that we have here. As long as you want to become part of us, we welcome you here. And Dean Towns says that's a recipe for disaster. For instead of welcoming others in, we need to welcome ourselves to them, which gets us to the second point. Often we think of ourselves as the people who have something to offer to those who come through the door. And many times that's true. Sometimes people just need a place to sit. Sometimes people just need a shoulder to lean on or some silence to think. But more importantly, if you listen to the translation that Terry read, we will end our extravagant welcome every Sunday by talking about how much better we are because we are more fully the body of Christ. Because the truth is, when you come through the doors, we get to see a glimpse of Christ through you. We get to see a glimpse of the Christ who suffered greatly through those who are suffering in this time. We get to learn what Christ looks like from the stranger who is hungry, from the stranger who is naked, the stranger who is broken or breaking, and the stranger who comes into this place with so much joy they can hardly stand it. Here in this church, our mantra is welcome. But this passage this morning reminds us of two critical things. First is this: our welcome isn't about us. It's about God. And second, we need to receive the welcome of those who come through the door too, that we might be shaped, that we might grow, that we might see images of Christ we never dreamed imaginable. As your pastor, I will tell you this. I love it when people come through the door who are equipped and ready to serve. People who come through this place who are ready to build us up and make us stronger. But as your pastor, I am more enriched when people come through those doors who can remind me of a core and central truth, that no matter how much it looks like we have it together, we are all struggling in this thing called life. And the more open, the more vulnerable, the more real we can be with each other, the more we learn not just about each other, but the more we learn about the God we follow. In this passage of Matthew, Jesus talks about great rewards that are extended to those who welcome. I fully believe this, that our greatest reward as a church for the welcome that we do doesn't come just in the fact that there are more people now in the pews, more children in the church, and bigger programs. Our greatest reward is that we truly become the body of Christ, that the kingdom of God truly draws near, and that we receive that reward of fullness and grace and peace and mercy every day that we draw breath. When we join this church, we promise to be Christ's love in the world. We promise to serve Christ with all we have and with who we are. We do that every morning when we welcome in here. But more importantly, I hope you do it each and every day, dozens of times every day, as you welcome anyone that you encounter out there. Friends, that is our calling. It is a calling of welcome. Let us commit ourselves to it. Amen.